Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency is considering scaling back legal requirements on the use of ethanol next year amid complaints from refiners that statutory mandates would exceed their ability to blend it into fuels without putting engines at risk. A proposal from the agency would cut the mandate to 15.21 billion gallons for renewable fuels in 2014 instead of the 18.15 billion gallons established by a 2007 law. The agency would call for use of 13 billion gallons of conventional corn-based ethanol and 2.21 billion gallons of advanced biofuels, such as biodiesel, down from the 13.8 billion gallons of corn-based ethanol and 2.75 billion gallons of advanced biofuels being used this year. The EPA is also considering dropping the requirement for cellulosic fuels to just 23 million gallons from 1.75 billion gallons as required in the law. West Fertilizer Company has been cited for 24 serious safety violations and is facing a fine of $118,300 as a result of the April fire and explosion in West Texas that killed 15 people and injured more than 200. The U.S. Department of Labor's Occupational Safety and Health Administration cited Adair Grain Incorporated, the owner of West Fertilizer Company, for exposing workers to fire and explosion hazards of ammonium nitrate and chemical burns, and inhalation hazards from anhydrous ammonia storage and servicing. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 15,053. It's up 20 points. The NASDAQ 3201, up almost 8. And the S&P 500, 1685, is up 0.25 point. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Today's forecast across the Midwest has not changed greatly from that of yesterday, certainly not in this first week of the outlook. We are dealing with two frontal boundaries that will be moving through the region, and each will produce at least some rainfall across parts of the region. However, this first frontal system is going to be quite weak, and the rainfall associated with it will be brief and not likely to persist for very long, and amounts will be very light, up to a quarter of an inch will occur most often, and there'll be a few counties out there that will pick up on a half inch of moisture, but that will be rare. This frontal system will weaken as it moves further to the east across the region. The odds are fairly good that we'll end up with many areas either being missed or only getting less than a quarter of an inch of rain. So fieldwork will advance around the event, and we will see a new storm system form in the plains on Sunday. That new storm system will then march across the heart of the Midwest as we move forward from the Monday and Tuesday time period for the western Corn Belt, and probably for Tuesday and Wednesday in the eastern areas. The storm system will be aggressive in the northwestern parts of the region, primarily in that area from the Dakotas and in South Dakota in particular over to Wisconsin. We'll see some 1 to 2 and local 3-inch amounts possible, but rainfall to the south will be more erratic and mostly on the light side of the norm. We'll look for values running anywhere from 0.2 to 0.75 inches, and there might be 1 or 2 areas that pick up on some 1-inch plus amounts. Right now it looks to me like Missouri may see some of the greater rainfall, and we may also see a few areas from Kentucky into Ohio that could see some of the greater rain. But outside of those areas, again, most of it will be 0.2 to 0.75 inches, which will be disruptive to field work, or at least for a couple of days. But it does not look like there's much precipitation coming up behind it, and the ground is dry enough ahead of the system that the soil will absorb much of that moisture fairly quickly, and drying should occur swiftly enough to get most producers back into the fields after just a couple of days. We will expect the temperatures to stay warmer than normal through a big part of the Midwest over these next few days, taking us through the weekend, despite the fact that we have a little bit of shower activity and a frontal boundary moving through the region. Most of the temperatures are going to run primarily in the 70s and lower 80s over these next 3 days, and we'll likely look for nighttime lows in the 40s and 50s, and maybe a few locations as warm as 60 degrees. Cooling will occur occur as we move towards the first part of next week, but it does not look as though temperatures will be falling below average, at least not until after the second storm system passes through the region. So sometime Wednesday or Thursday of next week, our high temperatures will be held back to a more seasonable range of 50s and 60s, and lows at night will be in the 20s and 30s in the far northwesternmost corner of the Corn Belt. Everybody else will be mostly middle and upper 30s and 40s as we get involved with that first round of cooling. Now, the computer forecast models continue to suggest the period for the 19th through the 26th will be a cooling period. We'll likely see temperatures dropping a little bit below average across portions of the central and eastern U.S., especially in the lower parts of the Midwest. And so that'll be our first opportunity for more meaningful freezes taking place. And obviously, a big portion of, in fact, most of our crops will be mature enough to handle such conditions without any real serious threats. One other comment to be made: behind the storm system during the early to middle part of next week, there will be a significant amount of cool air, at least at night, on Tuesday night in particular, and we may actually see our first snow occur across a part of the eastern Dakotas and Minnesota, although the soil temperatures are warm enough that it won't likely accumulate or stick around for very long. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Let's see how futures are currently trading. Hard red December wheat is 757 and three quarters, up 2 1/4. March, 757, up 2. December soft wheat is 685 and three quarters, up 1/4. March, 695 and 1/4, unchanged. December corn, 435, down 3 1/4. July, 463 and 1/4, down 3 3/4. November soybeans, 1274, down 14. July, 1241 and 1/4, down 10 1/4. October soybean meal, 423, down 140. October live cattle, 128, 42 and a half, up 12 and a half. October feeder cattle, 166, 90, up 97 and a half. October lean hogs, 90, 25, unchanged. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave.
Corn made a new low for its move overnight.
Yeah. Got down to the 433 level. I think really 4 1/4. We talked about that. There's a lot of technical analysts that are talking, you know, the 425, 426 area. So not a surprise there totally. I think we kind of got pushed down by this EPA leak that came out yesterday on the mandate and just the bushels hitting the elevators, and reports continue of pretty good yields.
If I did the math, I think it would be over 200 million bushels we're talking about of corn if all this were to come to pass.
Yeah, and it's, you know, first of all, since the government shut down, we don't really know the validity of the leaked email. And if it is right, there would be a process of, you know, proposal and then public hearings and all that before anything would actually be implemented. So we're a ways from actually implementing it. But like I say, it doesn't do us any good, I don't think, in the environment that we're in right now.
So another week without data, and we're left looking at spreads and private numbers and basis figures. I guess we will get NOPA data next Tuesday. When you look at what you can see, what do you think the market is trying to tell us fundamentally?
Well, I think we're in the middle of harvest. And if you go back, you know, this is kind of going back to more of a normal year maybe of what we've had here the last couple of years. And if you kind of go back, a lot of times this mid-October period is when you kind of see some harvest-type lows come into the marketplace, and I think that's really what we're looking at. The lack of government data, I think, affects us from the standpoint of it keeps some participants out of the market, I believe, because of both directions, but just because, you know, they don't want to get too surprised one way or the other whenever we do start seeing some of that USDA numbers again.
When you see the carry in the corn market at the rate it is right now, does it make sense to store corn in your mindset?
Yeah, I think so. I think it does. I mean, it depends, of course, on your situation and where you're at, you know, what you've done up to this point. But definitely if you have the ability to store and take advantage of the carry it looks to me like that's one way to pull some money out of the market. You know, you still have to make a decision as to when you want to sell that carry, and I don't think you can just store it and forget it. I think you've got to, you know, store it and manage your sales out front.
Well, the other option, I suppose, would be sell it off the combine, and if you think it might have some upside, to get a call option of some sort.
Yeah, but I think in the particular situation with the carry in the market and basis levels where it's at, I think the ownership of cash corn is better probably than the ownership of futures. But there again, it depends on what you've done to this point. I don't mean to sound like I think a guy ought to be storing 100% of his crop here necessarily.
Thank you much, Bill.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, and he is in Champaign, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, December corn, 435, down 3.25. July, 463.5, down 3.5. November soybeans, 1275.5, down 12.5. July, 1243.25, down 8.25. October soybean meal, 423.80, down 60. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.